I read about two men that decided to go sailing while their wives went Christmas shopping. And they, a mighty storm arose that tossed the boat back and forth. And in fact, the tiny sailboat was forced upon the shore of a small island. And on this same island, there happened to be a group of hostile natives that got after them with poisonous darts. And as they're hiding behind their boat, one man said to the other, "I realize that today hasn't gone exactly as planned, but this sure beats Christmas shopping, doesn't it?" I don't know if you feel that way. Sometimes I do. But I want to talk to you tonight about some gifts to keep on giving. Some gifts to keep on giving. And the good news about this list of seven gift suggestions is that they are for the large of heart and small of purse. That's a nice way of saying they don't cost anything. But that doesn't mean they're not of incredible value. Seven gifts to keep on giving year round. The first one is the gift of listening. The gift of listening. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, quick to listen. Quick to listen. Slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This means we really listen. No interrupting, no daydreaming, no walking away, no planning your response. Just listening. And it requires a choice of where we place our attention. We want to listen attentively. And it's amazing what a listening ear can do. Visited with a man recently, just sat with him. His wife's in the nursing home undergoing rehab. His birthday is today. But Brother Ernie said, "I'm the loneliest man in the world." You think just sitting and listening would do him a world of good? Just a phone call. You don't have to tell him I told you that. But I know he'd appreciate hearing from us and him being able just to talk and we listen to him. Charles Swindoll's a prolific writer, and he was on a deadline of completing a book. Ironically, the title of the book is Stress Fractures. And he was really uptight and very irritable with his family, and they're sitting at mealtime, and he's choking down his food, thinking about the work that he needed to accomplish. And he remembers after supper one evening that the words spoken to him by his younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell him something that was important to her. And so she went up to her daddy and she said, "Daddy, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you really fast." And Charles Swindoll replied to her, "Well, honey, you can tell me, but you don't have to talk quickly. Just tell me slowly." And then Colleen said to Charles Swindoll, to her dad, "Well, Dad, then listen slowly. Then listen slowly." A gift, the gift of listening, is something that we can give year-round that doesn't cost a thing but has incredible value. We can give the gift of affection, the gift of affection. Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." And he's speaking to Christians. Within God's family, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Other versions state it like this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love, or love each other as brothers and sisters. And that can be expressed in many, many actions that may seem small, but allowing these small actions demonstrating the love that we have for family and friends is incredibly valuable. Alan Lloyd McGinnis wrote about a man that lived in his community. He was an obscure nursery man who passed away. And his name was Hubert Bales. He describes him as the shyest man that he had ever met. But at his funeral, it was one of the largest attended funerals in that community. And many wondered, how was it that this relatively obscure nursery man could make that kind of impact, that many people would come to his funeral? Why did such a shy man win the hearts of so many people? Here was his answer. Simply because, for all his shyness, Hubert knew how to make friends. He had mastered the principles of caring, and for more than 60 years, he had put people first. Perhaps because they recognized that his generosity of spirit was an extra effort for someone so shy, people loved him back. And they loved him back by the hundreds. The gift of affection goes a long way, demonstrating those things that communicate love and friendship and compassion. Thirdly, we can give the gift of a note. The gift of a note. Philippians 1 verse 3 is a great verse to include in a note that you want to send to someone, that you want them to know you've been thinking about them. Philippians 1 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul writing to the Christians at Philippi. Every time I pray to God, I thank God for you. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. I don't think we will ever know just what a brief handwritten note can do and how much that it means. I remember W.T. Allison saying that he had what he called a special file that in which when he would receive a note of appreciation, something that was very meaningful to him, he would drop it in that special file. And whenever he got discouraged, he would take it out and read through those notes and be uplifted by it. Maybe it'd be good for all of us to have a special file. And whether we do or not, I can tell you that those notes mean so much. And that brief handwritten note, I'm afraid, is becoming a lost art today. That's not to say that texts or emails or Facebook posts or any other form of media, that those thoughts can be communicated and appreciated that way. But there's something about a handwritten note that says you took the time to write it out. It's also something tangible that you can keep with you. I want to show you a picture. You know what those things are? I know it's a newspaper and some eyeglasses, and that's an old Confederate bill of currency. In fact, in that picture, you should see two pairs of spectacles, a lens polisher, a pocket knife, a watch fob, a linen handkerchief, a brown leather wallet containing a $5 Confederate note. And what you may not realize is that there are 9 newspaper clippings, including several favorable reports of the person who had these things in his pocket. These were the contents of Abraham Lincoln's pockets that were found on the day that he was shot and killed. But I wanted to highlight the fact that he had with him 9 newspaper clippings, most of them favorable reports of his presidency. And that struck me that someone of his caliber, of his leadership, would find that encouragement to be very helpful to him. And if he did, don't we all? We can send a special note. That may cost us, 59 cents? But it'll be worth much more than that. We can give the gift of laughter, the gift of laughter. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Proverbs 17, verse 22. There was a guest preacher that spoke at this congregation, and he was in the foyer shaking everybody out, as I like to say. And there's one woman that came to him and just said flat out, "That was a sorry sermon." And he didn't know quite what to say, except, "Well, thank you for sharing your opinion with me." Well, that wasn't enough. The lady came back to him a second time and said, "That was a sorry sermon, and you didn't even preach it well." So he doesn't say anything at that point. The same woman came back a third time and said, "It was a sorry sermon. You didn't preach it well, and I hope you never come back here again." So he's feeling pretty low at this point, and he looks at the local preacher hoping to get some words of consolation and encouragement. And the local preacher said to him, "Well, don't pay any attention to her. She's not very bright, and she just goes around repeating everything that she hears." Well, that was a good attempt, I think, but everyone loves to laugh. I think about a lady that lived out the last days of her life in Gulf Coast Rehab. It was Cogburn West at the time. She was a member of the church from North Alabama. Anita Riles used to go visit her with her Miss Anita's granddaughter, Hannah, used to go see her frequently. And I would see her on occasion as well, and Miss Eunice Pope would pull out cards that a dear friend of hers, also from North Alabama, had sent to her. And invariably, those cards would be humorous cards or would contain newspaper clippings of little jokes or cartoons. And she would share those with me and just laugh all over again. And so I thought, there's the gift of laughter. It's not only a little note to let her know she's being thought of, but also sharing some laughter. And I can tell you, Miss Eunice Pope enjoyed those things very much. Something very simple takes a little thought and searching for things, but the gift of laughter is something that we all need. A fifth suggestion is the gift of a kind deed. The gift of a kind deed. Galatians 5:13 says, "Through love, serve one another." And it can, a kind deed, no matter how big or how small, is a gift that is incredibly valuable. Here's a statement that could serve as a good motto for life. Every day, go out of your way to do something kind. Every day, go out of your way to do something kind. And if each of us made that a habit, think of how much good that would accomplish. John Wesley had these rules for Christian living. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Every day, go out of your way to do something kind. Therefore, as we have opportunity, Paul said, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Number six, the gift of a cheerful disposition. The gift of a cheerful disposition. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, by the sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. I'm going to share something with you and see if you can determine what I'm speaking of. It costs nothing but creates much. It enriches those who receive without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None are so rich that they can get along without it, and none are so poor but are richer for it. It creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in a business, and is the countersign of friends. It is rest to the weary, uplifting to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen, for it is something that is no earthly good to anybody till it is given away. And if it ever happens that some people should be too tired to give you one, why not leave one of yours? And what are we talking about? A smile. Smile. It's kind of fun to greet complete strangers with a smile. Sometimes they may think, "What are you up to?" But it'd be hard not to return it when it's offered, and it's free of charge. And lastly, but definitely not least, the gift of prayer. Pray for one another that you may be healed. James 5. In verse 16. It's an interesting study, but as you go through the New Testament, and particularly the letters of Paul, you'll find over and over where the Apostle Paul asks for the prayers of his fellow Christians. Brethren, pray for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Here's the apostle, endowed with the gifts of an apostle, the miraculous abilities and being inspired so that when he speaks, he's speaking the very words of God. And so he has all that authority and all that confirming authority by those miracles. But yet even he asked for prayers of the church. And if he needed people to pray for him, how much more do we? But you see, praying for someone is another way of saying, you are so special to me that I often talk to God about you. The gift of prayer. These are a sample of suggestions that we could give, of gifts we need to keep on giving throughout the year. Listening ear, the gift of affection, little notes, laughter, kind deeds, smiles, and especially our prayers. And remember what has been called the lost beatitude. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He lived it, and then he died, expressing the same kind of love and giving and giving and giving his life for you and for me. If tonight you desire to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, or if tonight you desire the prayers of the church, we want to extend the invitation of Jesus and invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.